Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the word of God. We thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fellowship of believers that are here today. And Lord, we pray that you'd have your way in this service. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And may your Holy Spirit touch every life here. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. I want you to notice some of the troubles in this. He said, the earth be removed. The mountains carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roaring and troubled, the mountains shaking. Verse 6, the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. That sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? I don't know when I've seen anything quite like that. The earth be removed, the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, the mountains shaking. I've been in an earthquake or two. I've been in a flood. I've heard the heathen raging. Heathen rage all the time. What a wonderful time we live in. We really do. My father was born in 1901, and he died in 1973, 72 years of age. He lived from the horse and buggy days, through the automobile, the airplane, the jet plane, the rocket ships, and men walking on the moon. Do you think any generation before his generation saw as much change as he saw? In 6,000 years of recorded history, no generation had ever seen the amount of change that man saw in his lifetime. But what's happened since 1973 to the year 2000? Talk about changes. They're still making them every day. Since 1973 up to now, today, we're on the verge of 2000. My, the changes are so tremendous. Back there in the 60s and 70s, those computers they had would fill a great big room and they would do not very much, mainly mathematical calculations. And in the 80s, they came out with a little thing called a K-Pro. What a little machine. But oh, it did wondrous things. I was fascinated by it. Boy, I tell you, I just thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And you know, they keep making them bigger and better and bigger and better and smaller and better and smaller and yet bigger. Here just recently, I either saw a program or read about it, I'm not sure, where they had a computer the size of a matchbox. This is made. A computer the size of a matchbox that would do anything mine sitting on my desk would do. And they said they were making them so small they were going to be the size of a grain of sand. I may be right that they're making them that way already. And they can drop them into a hurricane and let them blow with a hurricane. And they feed back information to a big computer back there. They're talking about making a computer so small they can stick it in your bloodstream and run it throughout your body, taking pictures and doing whatever they want to do and repairing whatever they need to repair. The difference in the operation on my left eye and my right eye, 13 years difference between the two operations, but in my left eye I had a 3 or 4 or 5 stitches. Took me a lot longer to get that eye back to working. The right eye had no stitch at all. Not even a stitch. The amazing changes and differences that have come about. We live in a fascinating time. Now, I for a while was really, really hung up on computers. I had a lot of fun and I was learning. But you know, I got tired of changing. They keep changing. And every time I get one of these computer experts in the church here to work on my, they upgrade me. And I got to learn everything new all over again. And I'm to the point, I don't want to learn it all over again. I would just like to sit down and do it. You know? We live in fascinating times. Maybe more than one way. We're on the verge of Y2K. If you haven't heard of Y2K, you must have been living in Africa somewhere. Every credit card statement comes out, tells you they're either ready or they're not ready. Every time you get a bill from the light company, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. You're going to have electricity in Y2K. Y2K, what does it mean? It means in the year 2000 buy a Kia. That's one of the advertisements. In the year 2000 buy a Kia. Y2K. They got things being played on this all over the place. And by the way, there are people selling Y2K food for about five times the price you can get at HEB. And some of us are buying it, I guess. Are you ready? Are you really ready for Y2K? Now, some of you are more ready than others, no doubt about that. Are you ready? Year 2000. Because in the computers, they just made the dates two numerals, 74, 75, 85, 99. When it turns 2000, it's supposed to read 1900. And that's supposed to mess a lot of things up, and it probably will. But you know, you say, well, I don't even think anything about this. I don't believe anything about this. Well, I do believe it's real. Because the government and businessmen have spent billions of dollars trying to correct the problem. They don't go out there spending billions of dollars unless there's some reason to spend that much money. They're hiring these computer men big time. You can't even hire a computer man. They can go right out of college and make $60,000. Now, what's going to happen in two or three months? All of them may be looking for jobs. But right now, they're really big on the scene. Are you ready for Y2K? Well, how could you get ready? Well, the Red Cross tells us there's some things you ought to do. You ought to have some water in your house. Why? There might be a flood. What happens when there's a flood? Well, you might need some water. You might need some beans. You might need some rice. You might need some canned food. You might need some other things. Is there anybody that could possibly be ready if Y2K destroys everything? Then not any of us could be ready. Do you understand that? I'm somewhat like a Boy Scout. I mean, I carry tools in my trunk all the time. I don't go anywhere without a spare tire. Now, my brother-in-law, he's dead, been dead a long time. But, I mean, he had a flat one time, and that flat tire stayed in his trunk for 6 months. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't get the flat fixed. Well, why? All my tires are good. He didn't need a flat. I'm somewhat of a Boy Scout. I like being prepared. I like having an extra tool. I like a flashlight. I don't mind having a phone in the car with me and some other things. You understand? I mean, have a coat just laying in the back seat. It might actually get cold, even in San Antonio, where the sun spends the winter. Are you ready for Y2K? How ready are you? Can you get ready? Because it's on the horizon. You know what? We're looking at a couple of weeks. And you know what? We're going to find out just how bad it is here in the United States, and we're going to find out how bad it is in Mexico, and we're going to find out how bad it is around the world. Things are changing, and times are changing, and there are some scary things out there. If you took everything that was said by the real bad-thinking people on Y2K, we're looking at a tremendous disaster. If you look at what some people say who don't think there's much to it, we're looking at a little blip. You know, and maybe in the United States, maybe those billions that have been spent is going to save us something. Maybe we're not going to have the problems. But I believe around the world, they're going to have some problems. There are going to be some problems because they haven't spent the money. They don't have the money to spend, first of all, and they don't have the expertise, second of all, and they're going to be in trouble in some of these. Some things aren't going to work. Are you ready? Do you have any water? Do you have any extra clothes? Do you have any extra food? Can you last a week without HEB? I want to know, how long do you think it would take if the trucks stop, how long do you think it would take to empty out every grocery store in San Antonio and Bernie and every town around here? How long? Not even a week. And you better get there early before the hoarders. Some of you didn't get that. You better hurry up and pile it up before the hoarders get to doing it. Are you ready for Y2K? It's scaring the living daylights out of an awful lot of people. I've read a few magazines about people that have gone out into the hills and they've manufactured their own electricity by solar power. Isn't that fascinating? I mean, they're completely, completely self-sufficient. That's fascinating to me that it could even be done. Wonderful thing. But what if everything falls apart all around you? It's a scary time. It's a scary time. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you ready? Now, some of you, and I like being ready. I have certain things prepared. Yes, sure. I want to be sure that if a week hits me, but if it lasts 3 months, I'm dead. And by the way, I'm not going to shoot you if you come into my tomato patch. You just come on over, we'll share my beans and rice till they're gone, all right? And they will both die. I'll probably last longer than you. I have stored up. I am ready for Y2K. I have been storing it up on a continual basis since I was 30 years old, really, working at it. Are you ready? Can you get ready? Is there a way to be ready? Of course there is. There are things you can do and there are things you ought to do. Just common sense would tell you you ought to prepare for certain emergencies that are going to come around your life, but you can't prepare for everything. Nobody can prepare for everything. But let's suppose you're prepared for Y2K and you got that all down. And I hope you do. And I hope you survive right through it and go right on out into the millennial reign of Christ. Hope you last. There's another thing I want to ask you if you're ready for. Are you ready for the tribulation? Look with me, if you will, in Matthew, the 24th chapter. I thought of some scary things this week. One of them is Y2K. That can be pretty scary. I don't like being uncomfortable. I like my own chair, my own bed, my own car. I like my air conditioning set to where I can hang meat in the living room. I like being comfortable. Are you spoiled as I am? Probably are. And I complain when things aren't exactly right. I blame my wife, of course. Anytime things aren't right, it's got to be her fault, right? She looks blamable. Look what it says in verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Let's say you're prepared for Y2K and you make it through Y2K. Let me tell you something else on the horizon. Y2K is here in a couple of weeks. Y2K here pretty soon. Maybe it'll be bad. Maybe it won't be bad. Maybe we'll all have a big laugh after it, eating old bread for a long time. Old beans for a long time and trying to use up what we've been storing up for such a long time. You know, I understand. Maybe that'll be the way it'll be. Maybe it'll be really bad and we'll all be just in little home churches worshiping and praying and trying to survive and starve and whatever. Who knows? Do you know? I don't know. You don't know. And there's not a prognosticator out there that does know. Nobody knows. I'll tell you something I do know. I know something coming on the horizon worse than Y2K ever thought of being. Y2K will never see the day that it saw this. It says, shall be tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Let me tell you what the future holds, my friend. It holds a time of trouble called the day of Jacob's trouble. Make the Holocaust look like a Sunday school picnic. It's going to be a time when things are going to be turned around and the world and the governments of the world are going to be run by the devil himself. It's going to be a time of trouble and trial and tribulation. It's going to be a time of death and war and famine and all sorts of problems. It's coming. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about this. The only thing we don't know is when. You say, well, Y2K may start it. That might be just the way God starts it. I don't have a clue, but it's coming. And it's worse than anything they've ever thought about Y2K. It's called the Great Tribulation Period. Now, some of you are worried that the world's going to end. Now, a government may end, and some peoples may end, and other things may end. The society as you know it may end. But let me tell you what's not going to end. The world's not going to end. My Bible shows me there's 7 years of tribulation, and after that, 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in peace. So the earth's not going to end for 1,007 years. At the least, I don't know how much longer, but at the least, that much time has to take place for the Bible to be right. And the Bible is right. Tribulation. Tribulation. Are you ready for the tribulation? How do you get ready for the tribulation? You store up enough food for the tribulation? You think you can store up enough food to bypass the mark of the beast? You think you can store up enough food? You think you can put enough money in the little safe at your house or buried in a coffee can in your backyard to carry you through to the end of the tribulation period? Do you think you can store enough guns, enough AK-47s and ammunition to be a survivalist through the tribulation period? Do you think you can build you a bunker in the side of a hill somewhere that will last you through the tribulation period? Let me tell you something, friend. The tribulation period is going to be so bad, there's no way you can protect against it. What's your hope? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. There are two men in the Old Testament that I believe are types. Types of people in our day. One of them is Enoch and the other is Noah. Noah, I believe, is a type of the Jewish nation. Noah builds an ark. Noah and his family go into the ark, and the floods come down and destroy the surface of this earth. And the only 8 people lived were those that were inside the ark. And when the floods began to recede, those 8 people walked out on dry ground and started over. What's going to happen to the Jewish nation is that they're going to be converted. Many are going to be killed, but not all. They're going to live through the tribulation period in the time of the greatest trouble the world has ever known from that day to it. Nothing you've ever read about, not Genghis Khan, not Tamerlane, not Hitler, not Stalin, nothing you've ever read about even comes close to the tribulation period. Chapter 4 through chapter 19 of the book of Revelation is dealing with that one period of 7 years. Chapter 4 through chapter 19 deals with that 7-year period in the history of the world. It's coming. Those Jews are going to go through the tribulation. They're actually going to live through it by the protecting hand of God and come out on the other side to live for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ as King. That's the future. There's another one I believe is the type of the church. His name is Enoch. The Bible tells you in Genesis that Enoch was walking with God one day, and they just walked up to God's house, and God said, Enoch, I think you ought to just stay with me. And Enoch said, I think I will, and he never went back. Now, that's sort of a paraphrase. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not. They didn't have a place to bury Enoch because Enoch didn't die. And you know when Enoch left? He left before the flood. And that's exactly where I believe the church is going to be. I'm really not worried. I'm a little worried about Y2K, but I'm not too worried about the tribulation. You know why? Because I belong to Jesus Christ. Back there 42 years ago, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I became a part of the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, and God's going to take me with Him. How can you prepare for the tribulation period? Get saved. If you're not saved, you're going through the tribulation. This is in our future. It could be 100 years, 200 years. I don't think it can wait that long. I believe we're right on the brink of it. I believe right at the very close. I think you and I are going to see the greatest change the world has ever seen. I think our generation, this people, not my dad's generation, our generation, my generation, see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be a day?
Amen.
You're walking around and all sorts of troubles coming around and people are fainting because of fear and problems and difficulties, and all of a sudden you hear a shout and a trumpet.
Amen.
Ta-doot, ta-doot. And he says, come up. And well, we just go out of here. That's what I believe. That's what I hope. Sure hope I'm right. Sure hope I'm a good interpreter of this book and I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. Ah, tremendous changes. What'll happen to you, my friend, if you're not saved and the rapture takes place? Oh, you ought to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know what it says? It says you'll be leave a lie and be damned. When I first read that in the Bible, it just shocked me so bad I had a hard time believing it. But I've come to the place I believe whatever the Bible says. Even things I have a hard time understanding and I have a hard time explaining, I believe them. He said you had a chance to hear the truth. You denied the truth. You rejected the truth. And God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned because they didn't love the truth when they had it. What is your responsibility? How in the world can you prepare for the future? Right now, bow your knees to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Right now, humble yourself and say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Oh, God, save me. He'll save your soul and change your life. And without Him, you don't have a hope. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough arms. You don't have enough brains. You don't have enough time to prepare yourself to go through the things that are going to happen on this earth. Let me tell you who's brought you alive to this very day. The mercy of God.
Amen.
You have any friends that are dead? I got a lot of friends that are dead. Some of my friends died in high school. A couple of them died right out of high school. My brother-in-law at 50 years old come home, sit down in his chair, ate his supper, sit down in his chair, turned on the television and went out. 50 years old. I had a cousin that was in tremendous health. He was a milkman. He walked that milk route into the homes every day. You know what he did for a pastime? He followed the coon dogs. And then he jogged on the side. Man, who could be in better shape? Boom, 52 years old, he's dead. You know why you're here today? The grace of God.
Amen.
It's not because you jog so well or because you eat so well. It's God hasn't let a Mack truck hit you. Boy, we've had enough truck accidents lately, haven't we? Good night. Man, we were coming here Sunday, two Sundays ago. We were coming to church and we didn't make it in. We may have moved about a mile in an hour. We understand later that it took 4 hours. Some people were in that line 4 hours. I finally, after an hour, figured I wasn't going to make it for the Lord's Supper. And I didn't figure I was going to make it for the night meeting. So I just turned around on the meeting and went home. Watched television. I was real spiritual. I want you to know I did it. What are you going to do? How can you prepare for some of these things? There's no way you can prepare. But prepare with Jesus Christ. There's one Savior. He died upon the cross of Calvary and He's controlling everything. Did you know that? Nothing down here is going so wrong. It's out of His plan. Ah, we live in a fascinating time. Every time I think about how many radio stations and television stations and whatever else is inside this room right now, does that blow your mind? It blows my mind. The idea that a live picture could be coming and bunches of them, all you have to do is have the reception. Have you thought about how many spirits are in this room? Have you thought about the Holy Spirit being in this room? He said, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. Have you thought about the Holy, have you thought about the devil being in this room? Oh, he's there too. Maybe not Mr. Satan himself, but one of his imps. One of those fallen angels. He might just be a sergeant. Might just be a private. I don't know how strong we are. He might have a full bird colonel sitting on our lap too. Some of the troubles we see sometimes, I think it is. At least a top kick with all those strings down here and all those strings up there and a star in the middle, you know. One of those. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Amen. They're in here. It's who are you tuning into today? By the way, who are you tuning into today?
Amen.
Who you been tuning into for the last few months? Some of you are so stinking backslidden and so cold you wouldn't recognize the Holy Spirit if you had a nameplate on. Amen or oh me. What a shame. Oh, listen to me, my friend. There's tribulation coming. And your only hope, if you're lost here today, when the rapture takes place, all of your saved family is going to go. And the only people left are going to be people that have not trusted Christ as their Savior. Are you one of them? If you are, then let me tell you something, friend. You will be left behind. You will have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will have had the Word of God. You will have refused the Word of God. And God will send you strong delusion. You will believe the Antichrist. You will believe the devil. You'll be convinced. And you'll be damned. Your only hope to miss the great tribulation is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, let me give you another verse, since I'm in the business of scaring you today. Look at the book of Luke, chapter 12. Are you ready for Y2K? Are you ready for the great tribulation period? Well, let me tell you, are you ready for this one? Luke 12, 4 and 5, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. After that. When I'm afraid of Y2K, I'm afraid of guys that are going to kill my body to eat my tomatoes. You understand? I'm afraid of guys that are going to come in and kill my body and beat me up and tear up my family because they want my guns. Or they want my bed. Or they want my car. Or they want what little gasoline I got left. Or they whatever. Did you hear what he said? This is Jesus. He said, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that, have no more they can do. They can't do anything else. What did he say? Verse 5. I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Let me tell you the one to be afraid of, my friend. More than Y2K, more than the tribulation period, you need to fear the one that after he's killed you can send you to hell. That's God. That's God. Whether you believe it or not, there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. Those that accept Christ go to heaven. Those that reject Christ go to hell. There are no 2, 3, 5, or 6 places and everybody you know goes one of these two. Without Jesus Christ, Those that kill your body send you right out into hell, because that's exactly where God's going to put you without Jesus Christ. Is that a scary thought? It was to me. 42 years ago and a little, I did not want to go to hell. And I called upon Jesus Christ and asked Him to have mercy upon me, a sinner, and save my soul and change my life. You know, He did it. Best day of my life, bar none. No other day of my life compares to the day that I got on my knees and asked God to forgive my sins and save my soul and believed He would do it, and He did it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are you saved today? If you're not saved, you're not ready for Y2K, you're not ready for the tribulation, and you're not ready to meet God. You're not ready to meet God. If you're not saved, get saved today. How can I? He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What a promise. What a promise from the Word of God. What a promise from a God who cannot lie. Him that will come unto me I will in no wise cast out. Yeah, but I smoke. Yeah, but I drink. Yeah, but I'm divorced. Yeah, but I'm this. Yeah, but I'm that. Who cares?
Amen.
All of us have sins. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have failed in one way or another. But there's a God in heaven who forgives sins and saves souls. In His promises, him that will come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get saved today. Get on your face and ask God to forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life. Go back to Psalm 46 with me. God is our refuge. You know where I'm running when Y2K comes? God is our refuge. You know where I'm running when the tribulation comes? God is our refuge. You know where I'm running when it comes to eternity? God is our refuge. Is that good? That's good. And you know what it said? A very present help in trouble. Now I know most of you aren't as old as I am, and you haven't seen as many troubles as I see. I've seen lots of troubles. Not only in my life, but in lots of people I've known. You know what it says about God right here? You know what I believe? I believe what it says in that verse right there. A very present help. A very present help. I don't trust to my spare tires nor my tools. I don't trust to my guns. I don't trust to my house. I don't trust to my police, and I don't trust to my nation. I have a present help in God Almighty. And He's the one I'm going to pray to every single day of my life. He's the one I'm going to trust every single day of my life. And when troubles come my way, He is a present help. A very present help. You know what He said down at the very last, down in chapter, verse 10? He said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Calm down. Be still. Quiet your soul. I remember one time I was going in for an insurance exam, and my doctor took my blood pressure and it was a little bit high. He said, Lindell, calm down. He said, think of some good thoughts. And so I thought of some good thoughts, you know, like fishing. Like catching a beautiful fish, you know. And he took my blood pressure and it passed. Woo! Be still. How about resting in God? You know what God has said? In spite of Y2K, in spite of the tribulation period, in spite of death, in spite of the heathen raging and doing everything they want to do and can do, He said, I will be exalted. You know what's going to happen, Christian friend? Your life is in the hand of God. It has been all along, it still is, and it will be till the final end. You belong to God, and the Satan cannot have you. Whatever troubles may come your way, and I don't think being a Christian eases you out of troubles, it may bring you a few more. Your hand is in the hand of God. Your life is in the hand of God. And God has made a statement in here, no matter how the heathen rage, let them raise up and threaten. Let them lift up their armors. Let them attack. Let them do whatever they want to do. Let them do their worst. Do you remember the cross of Calvary? The heathen did their worst. The heathen did their worst. They killed the Creator. They took God's own Son and put Him on a cross and hung Him there on the worst day of the world. Ah, let the heathen rage. What's the best day of the world? The day Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary and He died for your sins. He said, I will be exalted. Let the heathen rage. Let the nations go up or down. And I would be very sad to see Texas fall. I would be very sad to see the United States fall. I would be very sad to see the banks close. I don't want to go through troubles. But let the heathen rage and let happen what may. God's still in control. God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. You trust Him. You start learning to trust Him today. You trust Him tomorrow. You trust Him with your family. You trust Him with your job. You trust Him with your future. You trust Him with your health. You do everything you can and put it in the hands of God. Put your marriage in the hands of God. Put those little children in the hands of God. Give them over to God. I think you make a real mistake when you keep your children in your own hands. I think when you turn them loose and say, all right, God, they're yours. I'm going to raise them the best I know how. I'm going to protect them the best I know how. But God, they're yours. Do with them as you please. Same way with your wife. Same way with your husband. Same way with the troubles that are coming. I know some things are going to scare the living daylights out of you. And me too. When they do, remember Psalm 46. Remember who your trust is. Remember who's in charge anyway. Remember who will be exalted. You know who's going to be exalted at the end? It won't be the heathen. It won't be Y2K. It won't be the tribulation period. It won't be a lot of things. They weren't going to be the things that are going to be exalted. I'll tell you who's going to be exalted. When the end time finally comes, God's going to be on the throne. Amen. He will be exalted. And you know who's going to be with Him? Every born-again child of God. That's you. That's you. You say, but you don't understand, Brother Little. I'm the least of the children of God. I do understand. I understand that even if you're the corn on the bottom of the foot of the bride of Christ, you're over the whole world.
Amen.
You're still ahead of everything else. There's nothing even comes close to you if you're the very least of the children of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Verse 10, be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. We're going to sing number 249. If you're here and you need to be saved, then Jesus Christ will save your soul today. He'll do that. My Christian friend, if you have a burden on your heart, will you take it to the Lord? He is a very present help. Number 249. Just as you are, would you let God have His way in your life today? Has the Lord spoken to you? Has the Lord touched your heart today? The Holy Spirit bring a message to you. Will you do His will today? Will you accept Him as your Savior? He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll change you. His blood can do it. Will you come to the Lamb of God? Sing another verse. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit, not your fun. How about you today? Will you do the will of God? Will you place your trust in Him today? I'll come, Lord Jesus, I'll come. Will you come? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God that we have in our hands. We thank You for the hope and the peace and the joy that it brings to our hearts. We ask You, Lord, to carry us through whatever is in our lives to come, either these things we've mentioned or other things that we have no idea about. We trust You. You are our refuge. You are our present help. Help us, Lord, in our souls and our minds to be still and know You are God and You will be exalted in the end over everything and everyone. And we praise You for it. We pray, Lord, if there is a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul will be touched and saved. Pray for every child of God that we will put our trust in you and we'd live to your honor and glory. Answer the prayers that are prayed in this place today. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.